As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the circle of the listening to the book, The Degree of the Woman in the Religion of Islam. Listening to the stories of the women now in this recording number 13, where we're starting into the chapter, which is a quarter of the book on Rabia. Rabia Rabia Al-Adawiyya is the name of her, where she's from. We're on the bottom of page 66. And we're beginning to follow the beginning of her life of asceticism. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. CD says we take these books off our shelves because it's the food. It's the good food, the real food, he writes in the foreword, in the introduction foreword. How can you leave the real food and go to bad food? This food is a deep teaching for deep walking. And this is what I want from everybody. To carry the religion of unity and the message of love, peace, mercy, and justice. Bottom of page 66. Even though Rabia was beautiful, she refused marriage. This was not something normally favorable to Islam. She knew of the obligations of the religion and the hadith of the Prophet, the prayers and peace of Allah be upon him, and the fiqh and of tasvir, the interpretations. But she brought to light a new kind of love in the Sufi path. She knew of nothing but Allah, loved none but him, and was totally absorbed in work for him only. She had no desire for anything and no aim but his contentment with her. For 40 years, she didn't raise her eyes towards the sky out of humility towards Allah. Exalted is he. When she was offered marriage, she answered, "Marriage is necessary for those who have choice, but I am not free to choose. I am for Allah and under his orders." There's nothing of value in the world for someone who has joined her thoughts and faith only with the hereafter, where she would meet Allah, exalted is he. She no longer concerned herself with the world and kept her shroud in front of her eyes so as to be able to see it every day. Each time she prostrated in prayer, she wept so that her prayer rug was wet with tears. For 30 years, she repeated in prayer, "O Lord, you have drowned me in your love so that nothing will ever distract me from you." Rabia worshipped Allah with all her being and felt him with her wherever she was, so that when she was once asked, "Do you see the one who you worship?" she replied, "If I did not see him, how could I worship him?" Rabia truly walked in the special way, in the love of Allah, and has a clear influence on the Sufi path after her. Love for Allah became the way for purifying the heart and the soul, seeking Him alone and leaving all else. As she, may Allah be pleased with her, said, O my Lord, burn with a fire, O my Lord, burn with fire a heart that loves you, and a tongue that mentions your name, and a slave who fears only you. In this way, she transcended the material world. In a wider circle of existence, she discovered all of the caves in her heart and no longer walked towards Allah from fear of His fire or desire for His garden. But she said, if I worship you for your love, then give me the greatest reward, that of seeing your face. O you of majesty and nobility. Her love transcended all purpose because she no longer thought of the garden or of the fire or of reward or of punishment. She was face to face with the essence of Allah alone. She said, O Lord, make the fire for your enemies and the garden for your beloveds. But for me, there is only you. This created a new image of life in this world and in the hereafter, bringing together all that passes away with the eternal. And in so doing, a bridge was built upon which the righteous could travel all times to pre-eternity. She used to say, eat the bread of this world, but do the work of the other world. When Rabia was 80 years old, she was like a skeleton almost falling down when she walked. When her time came to die, she called her servant companion and said to her, O woman, do not disturb me in my death, but wrap me in my dress. And her dress was a long gown of rough wool, which she would wear during the night. As she had requested, her servant wrapped her body in this dress and in another woolen wrapper which she used to wear, and buried her on the mountain At-Tur in Jerusalem in the year 125 Hijra, or 752 CE. May Allah have mercy upon this knower of His, Rabia al-Adawiyya, the mother of goodness. Rabia, may Allah be pleased with her, lived all of her life in accordance with a line which had no end or alteration. It came from the depths of her heart and ended with her Lord, the Creator. In her heart she lived the fullest life a heart can live, and in her soul the purest life that a soul illuminated by the light of Allah can have. She drank from the spring of divine love until she was satiated. Her state was that of intimacy and proximity, of insight and contentment, and of a knowing commitment. She had lived in the ecstasy of sensibility, but not of passionate excitement. She was constantly sinking down and rising up in the presence of the truth, and was always in intimate conversation with Him, in His remembrance, in her obedience to Him, in her proximity, and in her contemplation. She lived all the time in struggle to reach the deep knowledge of Allah and under the shelter of His words. As for those who strive hard in us, we shall surely guide them to our paths. And verily Allah is with those who do good for Allah's sake. Then Allah gave her His path and enlightened her enlightened her way and filled her to overflowing with his mercy and blessings and many good things. Allah, exalted is he, purified Rabia's soul and chose it for his righteous path, for his longing, his love, and his light. He gave her victory with the struggle in life against evil, the devil, and his temptations. She became like a complete nation for him, and left behind her a deep spiritual heritage, and writings of high quality which were enlivened by an overwhelming light. She was a leader in the Sufi path of Islam and a mistress of its way in revealing its sources and widening its horizons. Truly, Rabia's station was that of the deep love. In her early years, she had been worried and confused, knocking at many doors, feeling for the door which would open for her and the path in which she would walk. In her heart, she was a true believer, and her soul was full of longing, but there was a rebellion in her body against the signs that would bring her to the straight path and which would calm her heart and soul, which were veiled by clouds of confusion and pain. She trusted Allah, and he opened his door for her, the door of his remembrance and intimate conversation, which was to be her path. Light began to show her the outlines of the path, and everything became clearer. And she was then able to seek Allah's guidance in that which was pleasing to him. This hope in her Lord remained with her most of the time as she began to listen to and hear the melodies of existence, after which she would weep, filled with deep faith and yearning and supplication. Her tongue would speak for her when, in these lofty states, imprisoned in pain, she would say, "I will endure all pain and will be patient, but there is a pain which is much greater than this, a pain in my soul which prevents me from being patient with myself, which puts fear into my mind and my heart, and that is, are you content with me, O Lord? For this alone is my goal. No bodily or earthly pain distressed her, but she was tortured and suffered from a hidden pain, and she wanted and asked for reassurance and faith in her station with Allah. Was he really content with her? She surmounted these states, which in time changed from worry and concern to reassurance. Allah honored her and freed her and lifted her up among people. In a state of complete wakefulness, she would hear whispers announcing pleasant words and a happy resting place, which gladdened and lightened her heart. In spite of having reached the station, Rabia remained haunted by the picture of the fire of hell and fears of torture in the hereafter still disturbed her. She loved Allah and worshipped him alone, but was this love enough to save her from the fire on the great day of power and fear? From the Quran 22:2. A day that when you see it, every nursing mother shall forget the child she was nursing, and lost is every child carried in the womb of those who are carrying it. And you will see the people drunk, and yet they are not drunk, but the fear of the punishment of Allah is intense. Then she would sigh in intimate conversation, saying, O Lord, you burn in the fire the heart that loves you, and a tongue that remembers you, and a slave that fears you. But she came to realize that the fire with its fuel and heat carried no fear or worry, and she gained knowledge of what paradise contained of pleasure for the self and joy for the eyes of the true believer and lover, for she knew with certainty that she, Rabia, worshipped Allah not out of fear of the fire. But she said, if there were no fire and no garden, no one would worship Allah, and no one would fear him. Then she would glorify him, saying, O Lord, give the fire to your enemies and the garden to your beloveds, but I only want you and always the meeting with you. Rabia had many states, for sometimes the love would overcome her, and sometimes it would be fear, and sometimes happiness. Then she would say, my beloved has no beloved like him, and no other can have a share of me. My beloved is hidden from sight in my presence, but he is never away from my heart. In one of her intimate conversations, she said, I have put you in my heart, the one who converses with me, but I give my body to those who want to sit with me. For he who sits with me finds happiness in it, but I belong to the beloved of my heart. And in a state of fear, she said, my food is little and I have not much. So should I weep for the little I have, or to weep for the distance in front of me? So burn me in the fire, O purpose of my hope, for where is my hope if not in you, and where is my fear? And in a state of ecstasy, she said, O you, my happiness, my hope, and my support, my intimacy, my readiness, my aim, you're the soul of my heart. You are my intimate conversations. You are to me my intimacy, and my longing for you is my food. If I were not for you, O my life and my intimacy, I would not have been born in this spacious land. Your love is now absolute for me. You're the clarity for the eyes of my thirsty heart. That you should be content with me, for, O hope of my heart, my happiness has begun. And in the same way she would send out her song, which carried the eternal truth, as she talked with the greatest beloved, exalted is his majesty. My desire is that you should be content with me, even when people are angry with me. My desire is that what is between you and me remains forever, and that what is between me and the world is destroyed. If I could reach to you, then all would be easy for me, for all that covers the earth is only earth. That brings us to the bottom of page 71 as we get drunk on Rabia's words. And the end of the 13th reading, inshallah, we'll pick up at the top of page 72 with reading number 14. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.